to the call. It's about 5 minutes before our call, and BBS has put us on, if anyone's there. And we were just having a discussion about allergies. Hi, welcome to the call. Good evening. Would you like to say your name and city?
Or not.
Or remain in the background. It's up to you. Anyway, yeah, no, it's I think people are becoming more aware of things like that, and where it used to be if you had allergies, you were the exception, and now it's the rule. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hello, this is Shirley from Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, Shirley. How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Colleen, do they put fluoride in the water in Florida, in Vancouver?
No, no. Thank goodness. Just a little, actually, they do a little ozone treatment of it, and they do in Vancouver, and they do, I think they put some chlorine in, and there's some other treatment method. There's like about three things they do, but no fluoride, thank heavens.
Yeah, I wonder if the fluoride has anything to do with lowering the immune system, because it's supposed to be some form of a toxic thing, and I can't remember who talked our government into putting it in the water just so they can get rid of it.
Yeah, it was something I remember in the 70s. It was a big deal. Hi, welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
I would. This is Don in Northern Ohio.
Hi, Don. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good.
Is it Colleen? Good.
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. You live in Vancouver?
Yes, yeah, I do.
Oh, mainly Vancouver. Nice city. It's supposed to be a nice city from what I've seen.
It is. It's when we can see the mountains, they'd probably be pretty beautiful right now, but the rain's kind of locked in. It's a nice city to visit.
Well, you guys aren't going through a drought or anything, right?
We did last summer. We went through a four-month drought.
Oh, but just 4 months, not for the last 10 years or so?
No, no.
Oh,
four
good.
Months. Was scary enough. I can't imagine living with that all the time. Hopefully, yeah, there seems to be enough snow so far this year that we'll probably be okay.
Oh, good.
Skiing opened up already. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Hi, Colleen. This is Marilyn from Pennsylvania.
Hi, Marilyn. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm good. Hi, good evening. Welcome to the call. Would you like to say your name and city?
Yeah, this is Raiden Knight, Cave Creek, Arizona.
Hi, welcome to the call.
Hi. You know Wynn's phone number that he put up on this email? That you're supposed to call 614? It's 641.
Oh, he was having...
Oh, yeah. That's what's printed on the email. And when you call that number, you get busy signals. So, you know, maybe someone can call him right now and let him know. Because there could be numerous people trying a 614 when it's 641.
I don't have a personal phone number, but let me see here.
Well,
if I could... Well, I mean, if
you
put it out right now, it would still be, people wouldn't be checking their emails, would they? And
well, it's the one he sent 5 minutes ago.
Yeah, 6 minutes ago. You're right.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Wynn.
Hi.
You're talking about my message for you.
Yeah. Oh. Saying someone, Raiden was saying that you had the wrong phone number. You have 614 instead of 641.
715. Instead of, wait a minute. It looks right. Can you type? No, it looks right to me. One day phone, 614-715-3655.
No, the number is 641, though.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you got 614, Wynn, instead of 641.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I was ready to notice that.
My newsletters. We just walked in the door. okay?
Ooh. Yeah.
Not that that's an excuse, okay?
Well, I just didn't choose for people to miss the call.
Right. No, I think that's a good point.
Right there.
Yeah. So, just a second. I'm just resending it.
Okay.
Who was that yesterday that said something about the Back to the Future movie and the 911? Was that Jay that said that? The World Trade Center thing? Was that Jay that said
that?
I looked something up on the internet. It's pretty interesting, actually.
It is. Yeah, how they keep repeating numbers and all that.
Yeah, it's all a digital reality pre-programmed, so
it's like The Matrix, other movies.
It's 641, correct?
Yes.
Correct.
641-715-3655.
And the replay is 3658.
Right. Yep.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. Hang on. Message subject.
We're on BBS already as well. FYI.
There's a little like a documentary on YouTube that I watched. I Googled Back to the Future predicts 911, and they had a little movie they made about it. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, I saw it. I looked it up myself after Jay mentioned that.
Excuse me, okay, Anna from Kent.
Hi, good evening, Anna.
Thank you. And to you.
Hi, Anna.
Hi.
Did you figure out that I sent the wrong number?
Well, I had they said the new number so fast I had to dial three times to get it right.
Oh, on the old number. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they do that, huh?
I don't.
It happens to the best of us.
Third dimensional syndrome.
Yes.
Transposing. Oops.
Maybe they're trying to help us improve our memories.
Yeah,
right.
No, could be food poisoning residue or something. Mm-hmm.
I can't remember more than three or four digits at one time anyways.
Was somebody referring to our food poisoning?
Somebody did.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Too soon.
Well,
too soon.
You know, Raiden, and we found out that it was an Indian restaurant we ate at. Well, Terry looked them up, and they were the fourth biggest complainant for food poisoning on the
Phoenix. Oh, good. Oh, God.
Was that before you ate there or after?
I don't know. I tell you, I might make up a new policy, though.
Wow.
And then Raiden, who also lives in the Phoenix environment, got food poisoning from drinking a mango shake. And we had a mango lassi. So we figured there was a bad shipment of mangoes, which is too bad because I really like mangoes.
Yeah.
Who just came on there?
Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Oh, hi, it's Joni in St. Louis.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Hi, Joni.
Hi.
Okay, Terry, are you on the line? Hello, Terry.
Are you getting any calls in?
Are
you receiving many calls?
Oh. Oh, for animals, you mean?
No, for just to call in through the number.
Let me see.
I got a busy signal a couple times.
Well, considering that I sent the wrong phone number out, and I just corrected it, and I sent it out wrong about 7 minutes before the call. Terry, are you on the line? Oh, your phone's probably
called the wrong number.
Terry, here's your bag.
Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to say your name and city?
Catherine from California.
Hi, welcome.
And this
Hi,
is Bonnie
thank
from
you.
California.
Okay. Did you
is this a permanent phone? Change of number?
Yes.
Okay.
What?
Until I change it again.
Hi, welcome to the call. Do you want to see your name and city?
You think it was in the bed? Terry thinks she left her phone in the motel.
Oh, are you kidding? Oh.
No.
Oh, dear.
Hi, Ken.
Hi, Ray.
That happens frequently to people.
It does. Well, I'll bet it happens more frequently to Terry.
Oh, God.
Hi, welcome to the call. The people who just joined, do you want to see your name and city?
Yes,
yeah, Rick. Hi, with city.
Hi, Rick.
Hi.
Hi, Rick. I'm Carolyn, and I'm from Chico.
Hi. Hi there. Great.
Someone should call the hotel room and have them save it and put it by the front desk or shut the phone off so people can't use it for nefarious purposes.
Well, okay, I'll be back in 15 minutes where I do all that.
Yeah, yeah. No, don't go. No. Please don't go.
Oh, gosh.
Now, we still may have the phone, because what I have to do is call it, see if it rings.
I'll call you back. I'm going to call her right now. Bye.
Okay, great. Okay, now, I got a question for you. You know, is anyone on the line? Raiden's going to call you right now, okay? Are you sure you left it in the motel? You know what, Terry has really been in a daze since this food poisoning. I was in a daze, but my daze kind of lifted yesterday, but her daze is still... It was really strong. Boy, I had to go do some shopping, and it was all I could do to stay focused. It was like I was falling over myself. But you know what? At least I'm human.
Quinn, what's that stuff that Chinese thing you were talking about is good for digestion? Cooler or something?
Curing.
What are you saying?
Curing. C-U, it came up under two.
C-U-L-I-N-G.
Curing, C-U-R-I-N-G, and C-U-L-I-N-G, okay?
Yeah.
And that's what that was. Dr. Good, too. It is, okay. Oh, well.
Aloe vera is sometimes for digestive stuff, too.
Well, this was, we really had poison because, I mean, yeah. We're both retching all night,
right.
Okay?
Probably bacteria, though. I mean,
yeah. Anyone here have a pet?
Yeah,
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Who has a pet? Oh, my God. Who has a pet?
I do.
I do.
I have two.
Okay, now say.
I have seven.
Okay.
Mine's sitting on my lap.
Whose pet is sitting on their lap?
Marilyn.
Who?
Marilyn.
Oh, Marilyn.
Yeah,
Marilyn.
Little, yeah. City cat's right here listening to the call.
Now, Marilyn, would you like to have a pet reading from Kathleen live on the call?
Oh, yeah. Gosh. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
What
are your pets' names, Marilyn?
I have a cat. She's almost 5 years. She's 5 years old, and her name is Pia.
Okay. Let me start. I'll start the paper. Don't Don't tell any more. We don't want to let the cat out of the bag.
Hey, Wynn, today's my birthday.
I know
Happy
that.
Birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
is that Capricorn? Is that Capricorn, Chris?
That's it.
Yeah. Mine was the 24th, Chris.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was born at 3:33, which makes me
nice.
Half good or half evil. So.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves. This conference is being recorded.
Okay, this is December 11th. No, wait a second. It's 7:11. Excuse me. This is December 28th. You might walk around because Raiden was calling you, Terry. Terry, you know what you should do? Walk around with your earphone and turn it off and turn it on and see if it pairs. Okay? Is it paired? It's not paired, is it? Go in the other room and go in the car and try turning it on and off and see if it pairs. Terry lost her phone. Do you understand what I'm talking about? See if the phone is anywhere near you, it'll pair. This is December 28th, a couple of days after Christmas. Wynn and Terry in Sedona, after 4 days in Phoenix and going down to Phoenix and doing our Christmas Eve show with Terry Friedman, whose spirits have been maintaining a little higher between then and now. So something is working. And I scheduled myself, since we're on a Jesus roll right now, talking about Jesus, and we have done so much amazing kind of putting things together concerning Jesus, and some of it thanks to Terry Friedman. And that's going to be the main theme of the show tonight. But we should have Kathleen Welsh here. And let me see. Here we go. Here she is. I'm going to unmute you, Kathleen. Don't do a thing. Kathleen, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
I hear you. Okay. So Kathleen has been coming to our calls for how long now, Kathleen?
Oh, my gosh. Probably since you first started them, a long time.
Yeah.
Years and years ago,
she has a secret talent. It's not the secret that we've been talking about. And she is able to communicate with pets. And that pets can talk through her. And it comes out sounding like English. And, Kathleen, how did you figure out that you could do this?
I guess I just had a close affinity with animals when I was younger and seemed to understand them. And I guess that's how I kind of figured it out. And I love animals. They're a big part of my life, so it always seemed pretty easy to kind of understand what they were doing, what they were saying sometimes.
Now, can you do it with birds and snakes and whatever, or is it just dogs and cats?
No, it's snakes and birds and whatever. I talked to a Gila monster one time that had a near-death experience.
I see. You don't remember the first time an animal talked to you, though, do you?
Probably when I was in grade school.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And, like, I know you've done this a lot, and oftentimes you actually do readings for people, right, that would like to deepen their connection verbally with their animal. Does it help? Do pets sometimes have grudges that they have a hard time getting off their chest because they can't talk, and then when they communicate it, they get into a better relationship with their owner?
They don't have grudges, but the thing is that they are highly emotional, and so a lot of times they do a behavior which is misinterpreted. But the reason that they do it is because they're sad or they're afraid or they're worried or something like that. Like there was a dog that was going around the house and collecting all the doormats in the house and putting them in a pile and sleeping on them and guarding them. He wouldn't let the owners take them away from him. And so it was baffling because nobody could understand what was going on until the animal communicator came in, and the problem was that he was feeling lonely because he got left alone all day by his human parents. So the dog figured in his way of thinking that if he collected all the doormats and put them all in one place, that his human guardians wouldn't be able to go out and leave him alone and he wouldn't be lonely.
I see. Okay. You know what? I wish one day I'm going to put this on the schedule. I'm going to make sure this woman comes on the call because we have somebody in Canada. Her name is Rosia. And for the past 3 months, she's wanted me to ask the Elohim why her pets keep urinating on her floor. And as that's something that we should ask for you. Is that okay?
This is a behavior that they're trying to tell her something that they don't like. There's something that's going on in the house that they don't like. So that's the only way that they can talk to humans that don't understand them is by doing some kind of a behavior like that. So the animals are trying to communicate to her in the way that they know that the only way that they know that they can do it.
Mm-hmm.
They're communicating their displeasure or their dislike about something that's going on.
So I'm going to invite her onto a call, and I'll let you know when she's going to be on, and she can figure out what's going on, if that's okay. All right?
Sure, no, that's fine. In fact, there was a married couple that, and I was seeing her. She was coming to me about the cat was urinating on the pillows in the bed. And, this is a new behavior, but anyway, so come to find out that the cat didn't like the husband, and the husband was arguing with the wife.
So she had to leave the husband to fix it, right?
So that's the cat's way of telling the husband that he shouldn't be yelling at the wife, and that the cat didn't like him doing that, so, see?
I see.
Well, the cat couldn't say meow, 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 and then you have the husband understand, so.
All right. Terry didn't find her phone, so I'm going to put my phone on speakerphone. I don't know how to do it here. Let me see here. From what? You could call from the Skype on your computer, which I put on there. Turn on your computer, turn on Skype. If you want, bring the computer in here and I'll dial it for you. So we'll get you through, okay? All right. Let's see. Let me just see. I don't want this. We're not going to do this whole call doing pet readings, okay? Because I want to talk about Ra and Jesus. But just for the moment, we have Marilyn Houseman in Pittsburgh, who has her cat on her lap, which is first on the agenda. And let's see if there's anyone else that wants a pet reading. And maybe we'll take one more, and maybe we'll fit these in the future. Hang on a second.
All callers are unmuted.
Anybody else want a pet reading?
Yes.
Who was the first person that said yes? Who was the first person?
Jeannie in Citrus Heights.
Jeannie. Okay. And what's your pet, Jeannie?
She's a cat, and her name is Molly.
Molly. And that's Citrus Heights, California, okay?
Right.
Okay, so stand by, and we'll do one. We'll do two. And,
Hey, Wayne, if I can get one, I'd love one. Chris and Sophie.
Next time, Chris, you got to say yes faster, okay?
All right.
I mean, you know, the thing is, a lot of people would like readings. And Kathleen, if somebody, you do this professionally, if somebody wants a professional reading from you, how much do you charge?
I charge $50 for a 20-minute reading.
Okay. And how do people get a hold of you?
They can email me at jkw2211@mail.com.
Let me just jkw2211@mail.com. Right?
Correct.
Okay. Okay, so let's go right on here with, let's see here. Let me mute everybody first.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
Now let me find, now I got to unmute Kathleen again. Hang on a second. Marilyn, I got you unmuted. And just a second. Hang on. Kathleen, Marilyn, do you hear me? Oh, here she
yeah.
is. Okay.
Yeah.
Kathleen, do you hear me?
I hear you. Do you hear me?
Yeah. So, Marilyn, is there, Kathleen, what would you like Marilyn to tell you for this reading?
Well, in order to do a good pet reading is I actually need to have a photograph of the animal and be able to see the animal's eyes. Because
now
this is...
Now you tell me. Now you tell me.
I've emailed you that a couple of weeks ago.
Okay. So would you rather we didn't do it now?
To do something spontaneous, it's like it's sort of like hit and miss. It's like, you know, me sort of like guessing at something or whatever. I mean, you know.
Well, I'll tell you what. People have your email, okay? And there's a number of people with pets. So I'm going to have them send you pictures of their cats, okay? Or their dogs or their snakes or whatever. And then at a future show, we will pick some of them out and do them. How's that sound?
Right.
Is that a better way to, that's a better way to do it?
That's a better way to do it. Then I can take a look at the animal and see them and connect with them, because connecting over the phone like this without knowing what the animal looks like or any kind of a description or whatever is a shot in the dark.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I would love to do it. Don't misunderstand me, but it's just that it's not possible.
Okay. No. Well, I think we did it one time, and we kind of got some good results, right? Didn't we do it one time? Somebody with another lost pet.
I don't remember how we did it, but I mean, you know, Marilyn, if you want to describe to me what the cat looks like.
Well,
you know what? Kathleen, let me interrupt, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Marilyn, you can describe what the cat looks like. And if Kathleen is not getting it, then we'll just not do it. Don't feel like you have to perform. Okay, Kathleen?
All right.
If you don't get something strong, because, I mean, I'd like, if you have the ability to do this, I would like you to be on your, put your best foot forward. Front of people, okay? So, Marilyn, you can say whatever you want. And do you have a picture of your cat on your computer, Marilyn?
Not one. I'm actually not near my computer right now.
Never mind. Next. Okay. So go ahead. Say a few words.
Okay, she's just a very generic cat.
She's a tabby, and she's got, her eyes are chartreuse, more yellow than green, and let's see her color. She's gray and brown and little black, but she's mostly gray and brown. She's just kind of a very run-of-the-mill, general, generic tabby cat.
Is she fat?
She weighs about 15 or 16 pounds, so she's rather on the large size, but she's very long, very long, not really fat.
And
but
does she run around outside, or is she an inside cat?
She's completely an indoor cat. My question is, I wonder, she does not purr. And I always love cats purring, and I've always wondered why she doesn't purr. But she's a lap cat. She's just constantly sitting on my lap and sleeps on my, every time I sit down, she jumps up on my lap, and just a very loving kitty cat.
But what age is she?
She will be 5 in February.
Okay, well, unless I see a picture of her and do a reading, then I can't tell you about the purring, but I just get the idea that she's a bit of a mischievous little girl. And that she likes...
I wouldn't say that. She's rather a pretty mellow, very mellow cat.
Okay, well, I still get the feeling that she's mischievous. There's a mischievous streak in her someplace.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what. Why don't you just send the picture in, and we'll just pick it up later, okay?
Okay.
And that way you have all your tools in front of you, Kathleen, so you do give your best shot on everything, okay?
Okay.
And is Terry here? Terry, are you here? She didn't figure out a way to get on. Okay. Well, I want to talk about, you know, the Christmas Eve call was pretty amazing. And in spite of the fact that we had all kinds of technical disabilities, that's not the right word, all kind of technical problems. And,
Bert?
Uh-oh. I mean, you guys. You? And, you know, it's always seat of the pants with Terry Friedman, because when we walked in the door, Terry said, what are you doing here? So we reminded him, oh, we're doing a show tonight. And he started off, it's kind of amazing to watch, he goes through this transformation when he starts talking about the Matthew story. And, you know, he's a little bit disoriented and a little bit withdrawn and a little bit, of course, he's, you know, got MS, so he's thin and semi-paralyzed, and this is like the it's obvious to me, this is like the most important thing he's ever done in his life to put this out. And it's very interesting because the past two times that I went to Phoenix and I went to see Terry, every time I got extremely tired. And I would go to Phoenix, and I'd actually spend a day or two in a motel before I go see Terry. It was like I was processing stuff. And the same thing happened this time. Of course, this time I couldn't sleep for a day or two. I had to go right to his place
because we were on the air. And yesterday, I did a session with Terry Brown, and I asked them, why was I getting so tired? You know, there is this thing called processing. And your energy merges with another person on some level. You're processing their energy through you. And you know, the idea is for the person, people to learn how to stay in a more balanced state. And on these calls, even though I don't see you guys, you're processing my energy. I'm processing your energy. It's part of the law of one. It's part of spiritual love to allow yourself to do it. But you have to do it within reason, because you can't process someone to the point that you get totally disabled. And that happens sometimes in relationships where people are processing each other, but one person doesn't ever learn to hold their center point. And so the other one person is processing the first person, and before you know it, they can't find the energy in the relationship. So I asked the question, I said, you know, why am I so tired? Am I processing Terry? And their answer sounds like it's correct, but it was more than I bargained for, but it makes sense. Because they said, I wasn't just processing Terry, I was processing the collective. Now, I'm not doing it. It's when I say I am processing, it's a result of putting information which potentially can expand the collective, but at the first entry, it's releasing so much potential. I mean, the potential is for this work we're doing that it gets into the collective and actually can transform the collective, or at least part of it, or who knows what. You know, it's like it depends on so many things that aren't meant to happen. Things happen because of everybody's individual decisions. And it's like rivulets going through trickles till it establishes, comes together and creates a river. And then it creates a huge river. And then suddenly, something which was, how would we say it? It was just crazy when it first started. It's like, this can't be real. And then suddenly it becomes potentially a new reality. Now, it doesn't have to do that. It does that because of a huge amount of individual choices going from one person to another to another. You know, when I first started doing this, and I started having the amazement of how extraordinary it was, I didn't know how it would occur. And I didn't know how to do it. I said, hey, I think this is really important. But I didn't know what to do. You know, you think of writing a book, and then everyone loves your book, and everyone's reading. That, I guess it could happen that way. But, you know, I did write a book, and people did like it, but it didn't get the momentum to go into the mass consciousness. But the book was rather sophisticated. The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce is sophisticated, it's esoteric, and it probably wouldn't go into the mass consciousness, but it would build a foundation for a new reality in this realm. It's kind of like if the world is flat and suddenly the new reality is the world is round, that idea has a lot of resistance to it. It did. And in fact, I think people were killed or jailed. I mean, it was a big controversial thing, making a shift to the idea that the world is being round. And so how do things change like that? Well, I'm sitting in something that's like that. That's that out of ordinary consensus. It's like the world is flat and suddenly it's round. God is a group soul. God is not the way religion makes it out to be. Religion has truth in it, but it has flaws. Jesus, you know, now I'm making the contention that Jesus was connected to a group soul made of graduates of this realm. Well, most people never even heard of the idea of a group soul that's made of graduates of this realm. And most people don't necessarily believe in reincarnation. So, and of course, now we got Terry Friedman being the reincarnation of Matthew and making that case and making it credible. And the fact that so many of you are actually taking the case and saying it makes sense, you're part of the rivulets of something that could be enormous. So in any case, I thought I would share a few more of the things that I went through to make this Ra-Jesus connection. And of course, the first time it ever came up was in the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, where there was one little section of a Wilcock channeling where they said, "We came to you in Christianity, but we don't speak in those terms anymore." And that was the first hint of it. Did I believe that? No. But I looked at the words of his channelings very carefully, and I looked at the resonance of them, and I said, could this source be that high to be father of Jesus, the Ra group? And I didn't know, but I got the idea that it might be true. And it's probably one of the things that gave me the momentum to spend 3 years, 2.5 years writing that book, fighting with David a good portion of the time, David being quite apprehensive about even being Cayce. And when I brought up to him the idea of, you know, I think there's a connection between Jesus and the source, he just said, "We can't put that in there. The fundamentalists will shoot us." And so, but that one little thing did slip in. So then, before this call, I did a search on the Ra material. Now, of course, again, we all know and love Carla, who was the channel for the Ra material. And the thing about all these people that are connected with Ra in some way that is that they were also connected to Jesus, but almost like it was a totally separate line. I mean, there was no interface, but somehow there was a connection of the same energy. No one was really drawing a conclusion about it except me. For example, Edgar Cayce was a fundamentalist Christian, and that he believed it was the Christ that was communicating to him. But he never said what the Christ was. But it helped him integrate his readings into his fundamental Christianity. Carla Ruckert was a Christian. She would go to church every Sunday. She would sing in the choir. I think she was a Presbyterian. I think so. And here she was channeling the Ra group and putting out one of the most important bodies of channeled material that ever was produced on our planet. And I asked her one time, I said, how do you reconcile channeling Ra and being a Christian? because in a traditional Christian paradigm, we would think of channeling as being demonic, and yet she reconciled the two. And then you have Terry Brown, who was channeling God as St. Catherine, pretty sure. I guess so much evidence that that's true. If anyone didn't ever check out the story, you're missing out, because it's an amazing story. So many parallels, you know, between St. Catherine and Terry, even in their personalities, which I kept looking at. And that, obviously, that was within a Catholic kind of umbrella. It was Catholicism. But she was not just, the source speaking through her was actually trying to correct the distortions or the corruption in the Catholic Church in a large part of those sessions. Fascinating to read it, because, you know, when you look at all these things, you get an inside look at the MO of these group souls, particularly, I mean, the Ra group right now we're talking about. And you see that the Ra group doesn't want people to genuflect to them or to give up their personal power or to follow their will. Nothing that I've read has been indicative of that. Everyone is on their own path of unfoldment, and we come together voluntarily. We create a group energy. Why do group souls be groups? Why do they have group energies? They have group energies because they're more powerful as a group. But they're not always glommed together. They're individuals that come and go. They have sub-councils. They have organizations. And that when they need to have a lot of power, they come together as a group and they focus their intention as a group. And then they pick up our intention as a group. And we're creating a group energy. And it becomes powerful. And then you have miracles. And you can see in a simplistic way of looking at things that that's God, and that if we pray, God will answer our prayers. But to me, this is a much more, it's the same end result. You can pray, you can have intention, you can have group energy. So, in the Ra material, Ra is never taking any credit for a connection with Jesus, okay? But they did answer some questions about Jesus, and I thought that I would just read some of the questions they answered, and some of it's quite surprising. But remember, they never say that they were working with Jesus, and you know what? It would be counterproductive for them to say it. It would be. It wouldn't fit together, because if they said that, first, they'd have a lot of people right off the bat calling it demonic. Second of all, it would take away, it would make people defer to them too much. And I don't get they want people to defer to them, to say, tell us what to do. Just like David Wilcock was afraid of being Edgar Cayce, because people would defer to him and think that he knew all the answers. So here, let me just read a couple of these and see where it goes. Question. This is from the Ra material with Carla, bless her soul. Carla, if you're listening now, we don't have Terry to have you talk, but you're probably, when we read the Ra material, it probably entrains to Carla. And she's probably on the line. Terry, are you there? Terry was supposed to bring her computer in. Okay, question. Now, remember, if you're not familiar with the Ra material, The raw material books are available free online. Just look up raw material PDF. Just do a search on that. And Carla put all her books up for free, five books, and plus her other books. Did you figure it out, Terry? Okay. All right, because we're talking about the raw material, and I thought Carla might show up. So, question, how did Jesus learn during this this incarnation? How did Jesus learn this? This entity learned the ability. Now, I'm not sure what the ability is, okay, because I'm taking these out of context. The entity learned the ability by a natural kind of remembering at a very young age. Unfortunately, this entity first discovered his ability to penetrate intelligent infinity by becoming the distortion you call angry at a playmate. The entity was touched by the entity known as Jesus to you and was fatally wounded. Thus, the one known as Jesus became aware that there dwelt in him a terrible potential. This entity determined to discover how to use this energy for the good, not for the negative. This entity, Jesus, was extremely positively polarized and remembered more than most wanderers do. Now, somebody asked me, what's an extreme wanderer? Because our sources talked about that. I'm sure we could use Jesus as an example of an extreme wanderer. Let me go back a moment. And the word distortion is used by the Ra group in a slightly different way than it's normally used. And what the Ra group means by distortion is that basically everything that's not in total oneness is distortion. Now, in the highest truth, there's only one. And for something to exist, it has to have a distortion. It makes a kind of a blip in the oneness. We are all blips in the oneness, which allows us to be separate. And depending on the nature of the distortion, is how far away we become from the oneness. And so Jesus became very angry. And some of you know that anger can hurt another person. And in this case, they're saying that Jesus hurt somebody and decided he had a great energy and power in him, recognized his own power, and he wanted to switch it to only use it for the good. And next question, can you tell me what the Orion group did in order to try to cause his downfall? Ra, we may now, for those of you who don't know, the Orion group is the, up till now, it is the highest service to self group in other dimensions. When Carla was being negatively attacked, negatively greeted, as she would call it, when they would ask questions about it, they said it was a fifth density Orion crusader that wanted to take Carla out of commission because the work she was bringing through had the potential to transform this realm and take it out of the hands of the negative. And so what did the Orion group do in order to cause his downfall? They're talking about the Orion group causing Jesus' downfall. And I believe the Orion group is the reptilians, or they're behind the reptilians, okay? We may describe in general what occurred. The technique was that of building upon other negatively oriented information. This information had been given by the one whom your people called Yahweh. This information involved many strictures upon behavior and promised power of the third density, service to self nature. These two types of distortions were impressed upon those already oriented to think those thought forms. This eventually led to many challenges of the entity known as Jesus. It eventually led to one sound vibration complex, Judas, as you call this entity, who believed that it was doing the appropriate thing in bringing about or forcing upon the one you call Jesus the necessity for bringing in the third density power distortion of third density rule over others. This entity, Judas, felt that if pushed into a corner, the entity you call Jesus would then be able to see the wisdom of using the power of intelligent infinity in order to rule others. The one you call Judas was mistaken in this estimation of the reaction of the entity Jesus, whose teach learning was not oriented towards this distortion. This resulted in the destruction of the bodily complex of the one known as Jesus to you. So just to review that one, basically, Judas wanted Jesus to be recognized as king of the world, of that everyone would respond to him, and that he thought by turning Jesus in, he would force Jesus' hand, and he'd have to do some kind of super miracle, and to be recognized in that way. And so Judas did not do what he did, according to this, in order to betray Jesus. He did it because he thought it would be in the best interests of the planet for Jesus to be recognized, and that by calling his hand, bringing him to the crucifixion, something would happen, and he would not get crucified. And that would be a signal to everyone else that it was some kind of huge public miracle, and Jesus then would be elevated, okay? Then, did Jesus of Nazareth come from the Confederation before incarnation here? The one known to you as Jesus of Nazareth did not have a name. This entity was a member of fifth density of the highest level of that sub-octave. The entity was desirous of entering the planetary sphere in order to share the love vibration in as pure a manner as possible. Thus, the entity received permission to perform his mission. The entity was then a wanderer of no name, of Confederation origins, of fifth density, representing the fifth density understanding of the vibration of understanding of love. And question, can you tell me before incarnation into this density, was the one known as Jesus of Nazareth, who before incarnation into this density was Jesus? The entity now studies lessons. They said they have difficulty with the question. Can you rephrase? What densities does Jesus now reside? The information is harmless, though unimportant. This entity studies now the lessons of wisdom vibration, the fifth density, also called the light vibration. Now, there's more questions than answers here. which we're not going to have time to read. I want to quickly read one thing. But for those of you that want to do this yourself, there's a web page. It's called, write this down if you want to, lawofone.info, I-N-F-O, lawofone.info. It's got all of Carla's sessions in there that are searchable. So all you have to do is put in Jesus, Orion, Egypt, it doesn't matter. And it will immediately bring up everything that comes up under that search. And it's pretty fascinating. And I just wanted to conclude this very quickly, was while I was putting together the Ra Jesus connection, in 2003, I was with Daphne, and I'm not going to have time, 7:56, we got 1 minute. I'm just going to read this. And this was, some of the stuff coming through Daphne was very far out. And some of it, as I read this through, it's not as earthy as the way they speak through Terry. And sometimes I wasn't sure I could trust it as much as I trust Terry's stuff. But this, I'll just read this here. Daphne, are we proceeding to the divine conscious access mechanism, the latent rarefied structures of DNA molecular wiring of solar sublogi, solar logos, slowed down beneath the threshold of the speed of light? This results in materialization of form. The trick, the challenge, to remain open to the highest frequencies of love while incarnate in a substellar, i.e., sub-light speed vehicle of materialization. Proceed with questions, please. You know what? We could just read that paragraph for a whole hour and figure out what they're saying, but it's pretty amazing. They're talking about the stepping down of energy from the really high realms into 3D.
Great show, Wynn. We got to leave.
We got to go? Okay. 7:58. We got to go. All right. So, sorry about that, guys. Well, I'll read one thing, okay? I want to ask a question. Was the Father the one infinite creator who created the solar logi, Ra, Elohim? Who would have represented the Father in terms of the specific decision to put the Son into this density? Answer, as you would understand this question, this decision was made by the one known as Ra. There we go. That's the end of this call. And let me unmute everybody, and we'll say goodbye. Goodbye to everybody on VBS. Watch tomorrow, because I'm going to be putting out the Terry Friedman Christmas Eve call, and it's really worth listening to. You know, I'm putting it out like a donation, but you don't have to make a donation to get it, okay? Just get it, listen to it. Make the donation afterwards and see if it touches you. Okay, here we go.
All callers are unmuted.